For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder. The assassination of 20 children and 8 adults in an elementary school in Connecticut is front page news around the world this morning. The details are still unfolding. Potential victims include kindergartners through fourth graders at Sandy Hook Elementary School. It's the most recent and the most horrific, perhaps, in a string of mass killings over the last few years in the United States. Since 1982, there have been at least 62 such killings across the country. My guest is Andy Pelosi, founder and executive director of GunFreeKids.org and the campaign to keep guns off campus. He's the former director of New Yorkers Against Gun Violence, and he joins us from New York. Welcome to our program, Andy.
Thank you, Amy, for having me.
Andy, in the face of one of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history, recent history at least, involving the youngest victims, perhaps, how do we respond? What can you tell us?
I think the first thing that, you know, I would say, and things we've been saying since we found out yesterday, is that we want to first extend our condolences and our sympathies to the families of the victims, as well as the survivors in Newtown at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I think that that is the most important thing that we first can do. A number of us were in Washington, D.C. yesterday for a training session, some of my fellow advocates, and when we heard the news, we were all visibly upset and said, what could we do? What has to happen? And we organized a impromptu vigil press event outside the White House and with the message that today is the day and that today is the day that we act. And when you ask me, we need to advance the dialogue of how are we going to reduce gun violence in the United States? How are we as a collective group of folks going to work together to reduce the number of people, 86 people being killed by guns every day in the United States? How are we going to work together to pressure our elected leaders, starting with our president, who we know cares about this issue, but needs to push Congress to act and begin this national dialogue? We're way past empty promises and messages of condolence, as much as they may be sincere. We need action.
President Obama said yesterday, "We have come together. We have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this, regardless of the politics." But he offered no details, and it is notable that the presidential debates did not include any reference to gun regulation, to my knowledge.
There was actually, you're right for the most part. Certainly the Republican primary debates did not. There was one presidential debate, I believe it was at Hofstra University in New York, where a question was posed by an audience member, and there was a brief discussion about assault weapons and perhaps something else. But for the most part, that the issue of gun violence prevention and was missing from the campaign itself, for sure.
Now, this young man who killed all of these children and adults, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, he's been identified as, he reportedly used pistols, a Glock and a Sig Sauer pistol. I'm not sure what those are. You might be able to tell us. There was one report that he used a semi-automatic weapon and fired as many as 100 rounds. This is kindergarten classrooms, first grade classrooms. How easy is it to obtain weapons with this kind of firepower in the United States?
Well, you know, again, one of the first thoughts, and I'll answer that, one of the first thoughts I had when I found out about this is that I have two elementary school age daughters. I actually live about 20 minutes from Newtown, Connecticut. I live in New York, but I'm right across the border. I initially thought about them and their safety but more importantly, what is it like to be a parent and to put your kids on the bus in the morning and then find out that they're not coming home? I just cannot imagine what that is like for those folks. In terms of the weapons that were used, yes, I mean, I think you're right in terms of the two semi-automatic handguns and there may have been a 223 Bushmaster, which is an assault weapon.
I wasn't aware there were handguns that were semi-automatic weapons until now.
Semi-automatic handguns. Now, I don't like to speculate about the facts are still coming out and the investigation's ongoing. I don't know which weapons were used, but if many, many rounds were fired off, then, obviously were semi-automatic weapons, which can cause a lot of destruction in a short period of time.
How many people did handguns kill in the United States last year compared to other countries?
I think that I wouldn't be able to break out handguns versus long guns. So if we just were looking at guns itself, I mean, gun homicides in the United States are approximately around 12,000 of homicides. But the total number of people killed by guns in the United States in the last available years from the Centers for Disease Control is just over 31,000. So that includes suicides. But that's a huge number. It dwarfs all the other industrialized nations. I mean, you look at a place like Japan that has less than 100. The United Kingdom has...
Eight.
Is it eight? Actually, thank you.
I'm not sure about this. This was actually taken from a tweet that I saw last night.
I'm sure it's correct.
It was a poster.
We just dwarf other nations in terms of the number of gun deaths that occur in our country versus all the other industrialized nations around the world.
And the focus, I was finished. The focus of the media and certainly the National Rifle Association is usually on the psychology of the given killer, or in the case of the media, certainly the victims appropriately. But it's fairly certain that there are people with mental illness. There are people who might kill. There's an equal number of people with mental illness in other countries. And yet, we have this figure of eight people killed by guns in Great Britain. So this argument that people kill people, focusing on the motive of the killer or the identity of the killer or the efforts of law enforcement or the ability to defend themselves seems misplaced, given that those circumstances would exist everywhere.
That's a very good point. We'd like to point to the fact that it's really about easy access. That in the United States, even though we have a background check system, even though we do have certain laws on the books, it is still extremely easy for people to get access to weapons. And let's just put, if we could, for one second, put the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting to the side for one second. And because we know that every day in the United States, 86 people are killed by guns. So this is not something that it occurs. We have this high profile incident, and then nothing really happens with gun violence, until the next incident happens. And unfortunately, there's going to be another incident until we do something. But this is a continuing drama. Nightmare in our country every single day. And a lot of it is about easy access to weapons. And until we do something about that, I don't see those numbers dropping at all. And the other thing, if I could, Amy,
go ahead,
is that we talk a lot about the number of people killed. And again, I use the number around 31,000. There's close to probably 100,000 people that are injured by guns every year. And that is that's a figure that you don't really hear much about. And what's also not discussed is the economic impact, the health care costs, that are associated with folks that will need care afterwards. So it's a huge problem, but most politicians will stick their heads in the sand and say we can't do anything about it. And it's incumbent upon advocates like me and ordinary folks, really more important, ordinary folks, to say that, okay, today's the day we have got to start addressing this issue.
Some people seem to be doing that already. I noted last night and this morning that Twitter was alive with references to the attack. And apparently, the Huffington Post reports that the website of the National Rifle Association is basically, well, not the website, but the tweets that people are tweeting them massively last night and today. The website itself, though, contains no mention of the shooting at all. Nothing. And I wonder if you could tell us about some of the latest marketing campaigns by the National Rifle Association, particularly in response to the 2007 Virginia Tech massacre that took 32 lives.
You want me to talk about their marketing program?
Well, it seems reportedly they responded to that massacre by saying that there need to be more guns on campus so that people can defend themselves.
Right. Yes. No. That is another issue that you know, things you hear about in response. Okay, if only someone else was armed, you know, then that, you know, that person could have, you know, stopped that mass shooting or deterred it in some manner. And, you know, that, again, that's not something that we agree with. We feel that if we're going to add more guns, we're just asking for more gun death and gun death and gun injury. We don't think that that's the solution. And, you know, just, you know, putting on that hat of working, you know, to preserve safety on campuses around the country, we don't have college presidents coming to state legislators and saying, you know what, we've got to have our faculty and our students armed. So could you please change the laws in our state so that people can start carrying their concealed weapons? I mean, that is just, that's not happening, even though there is a push by the gun lobby to do this in some states. And there was actually a battle that's been happening in Michigan over the last several days right along those lines, where the legislature just voted to allow concealed weapons, not only on campus, but in daycare centers, hospitals, houses of worship and places like that, which is just outrageous.
You're saying that Michigan, in addition to pushing through that right to work law, also pushed through a law allowing the use of concealed weapons in daycare centers?
Yes, I am saying that. And it is now, we are now working to persuade the governor to veto the legislation. But that's where things are now in Michigan. Yeah, so they've done a few different things in Michigan in the lame duck session.
A number of organizations, particularly I'm thinking of the Center for Media and Democracy, has pointed out the role of the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is an organization that brings together state legislators and corporations and has effectively written model laws that state legislatures then take back, the legislators themselves then take back and push through in their various state legislatures, which it should be pointed out are there's a lot of Republican-dominated state legislatures right now. I'm not sure the number, but apparently Republican-dominated legislatures in at least four states are also planning to consider allowing employees to bring guns to work.
Yes.
Yes. Tell me about that.
They're definitely, yes, you're right. You hit the nail on the head about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and not a lot of folks knew what this group was about and its agenda, which was quite comprehensive, including pushing for a model bill for allowing guns on campus, guns in the workplace, and so on. And even though employers, and I can think of one in Tennessee specifically, where FedEx was strongly opposed to allowing that and fought vigorously, you know, against it. And I'm sure there were many, many other employers that, you know, that did something similar. But the push is let's allow people to carry guns in every nook and cranny in the United States. And there is a backlash to this. There are people are saying that, you know, looking at, you know, incidents like Aurora and other places, and again, what happened yesterday in Connecticut, this is crazy. That, you know, we have got to address this issue.
What happened in Aurora?
Aurora, Colorado, the movie shooting, the movie house shootings that killed and injured scores of people.
This argument that people kill people, not guns, has been advocated by or put forth by the National Rifle Association for many, many years. And it appears to have, what's your sense of public support? It certainly has significant support among Republican legislators, state and federal. But what's your sense of public support for allowing people to carry guns? Do you have any sense of that at all? Have there been any studies about it?
Well, there's been some polling done recently of Republicans, of NRA members, along the lines of asking, what their thoughts were on background checks and, current laws. And there was a vast majority, believe it or not, of NRA members as well as registered Republican voters that were very supportive of things like background checks. So I think that you have two things you're looking at there. There can be NRA members or gun owners, and, there are many, 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 many more gun owners than there are NRA members, of course. But I think that the vast majority of those gun owners are probably reasonable. They want to see a background check. They want to make sure that that people are carrying their guns only where they're supposed to be carrying them. Those are things that poll pretty high.
In daycare centers.
Right. The things that actually poll very high. But there's a mythology out there, I think, that the NRA is so strong and that, nothing can be done. Just this last election cycle, they did horribly in races where they spent millions and millions of dollars. They did, especially when they went against, the money that they spent in ads against President Obama. But they also lost congressional races in other places.
Who went horribly? I'm sorry.
The NRA. I mean, they spent millions of dollars in races in this last election cycle and did very, very poorly. So the thing is that the trick for us is to take the latent support and turn it into action. I think that is something that that our movement has to do. That is something that we have to be able to hold the elected officials accountable, that they are going to start this dialogue of what are the different ways, and there are different ways that we can start reducing gun violence.
Tell us about those.
I mean, I think that there's we obviously have to look at our laws. I mean, again, I still still believe that it's too easy to get a weapon in this country, buying multiple weapons. Weapons being sold in the secondary market. What I mean is that after a gun is sold the first time, in many states, most states, that gun can be sold a second time if there's no licensing, and there's only a handful of states that have licensing, and it can be sold without a background check. You can buy guns at gun shows in many states in this country without a background check from a person who has their own collection of guns, not from a federally licensed dealer. We should be looking at some of those things. So that's a place to perhaps start. Groups like law enforcement are definitely with us. They don't want to be outgunned, on the streets when they're doing their job. So I think that these are places to start. But if the president doesn't lead on this, I think it makes it very difficult for a real dialogue, because we're not going to we're not going to wait for Speaker Boehner or Minority Leader McConnell to start leading. The President of the United States has to lead on this.
If the National Rifle Association did as poorly as you say with respect to the uses of its money, maybe in the electoral campaign, why do we hear so little from our elected officials and specifically from our own president in terms of specific proposals? For example, what about a semi-automatic weapon ban?
When you say semi-automatic weapons, you mean for assault weapons, or are you talking about all types of weapons?
I mean the ability of someone to, I'm not sure because I don't know so much about weaponry, but I'm thinking that the difference between someone firing a pistol, one round, one shot, and a semi-automatic weapon is the difference between one or two people being killed and 50 people being killed.
Right. Well, I guess one thing where you could be leading is the magazine. How many rounds are being held? Can we in some states do that, limit the number of magazines, of rounds in a magazine, so that and that's something that has been, that is in Congress right now. For example, that was after the Tucson shootings of where Congresswoman Giffords and others were injured and several folks were killed. There was a move to limit the size of magazines so someone wouldn't have that type of firepower. And again, going back to yesterday, I don't know how many rounds the shooter got off, but he clearly used semi-automatic weapons, which made his what he did much easier because he could do it in a short period of time. So that's definitely something that could be looked at is limiting that firepower.
Andy Pelosi, wasn't there a ban on a certain kind of semi-automatic weapon in the past?
Yes.
That was overturned?
There was a federal ban on assault weapons. That was signed into law in 1994. It came on the heels of passage of the Brady Bill in 1993, which set up the whole federal background check system, something that we didn't have in this country before that. So that was in 1993, named after the former Reagan press secretary, James Brady. And then the next year, there was a federal assault weapons ban, and that the one issue with that, well, two issues. One was that it had a 10-year sunset provision, so that meaning that after 10 years, that bill would, in 2004, would go away, sunset, unless Congress and the president reauthorized it. Well, advocates worked very hard in those intervening years to get that bill not only strengthened, but that law strengthened, but renewed, even though there was overwhelming law enforcement support around the country and many people spoke out in favor of it. President Bush did not lead on it, and a bill never made it out of Congress to his desk. So that law sunsetted in 2004. Now, a handful of states had their own assault weapons bans, and those remain on the books. And some of those states include where you are, Massachusetts, which has a very strong, and incidentally, that was signed by Governor Mitt Romney. And Connecticut also has one. New York has one. New Jersey has one. And California has probably one of the strongest ones in the nation. So there's only a handful of states. Most states do not have a ban on assault weapons.
Well, thank you, Andy Pelosi. We'll have to end here.
Okay.
Thanks so much for joining us. A pleasure
to
have
you. Thank you for having me on today, Amy.
Thank you.
Okay, so, take care.
You too. Take care.
All right.
My guest was Andy Pelosi, founder and executive director of GunFreeKids.org. For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder.